Thank you, sisters. Appreciate that special. Well, I didn't know how I was going to introduce our brother. I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful to be able to introduce my brother. I have several memories of our brother behind us today, and one of them I wanted to share with you that I think is a good introduction to this. But as an outsider, if you will, for lack of a better term, looking at the Phoenix local, I noticed that one side of the Yates family tended to be a bit more verbose than the other side. And I thought that was the case. I'd always thought that was the case. And I was up in New York. And as we do, I think it was a reunion. I don't know if you remember that or not. It's probably a reunion, and we had gathered together, as you do at reunions, in a circle, and we were talking and speaking, and I don't remember what the question was, and I always thought that our brother had been quiet, and he was not. He definitely will speak his mind when he's ready to speak his mind, and I have a great appreciation for that. He's a brother that is very passionate about the gospel, and when you get a chance to speak with him or spend time with him, you see where his heart is, clearly to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful to have known him. He's probably known me my whole life as we've been around, but it's always good to hear my brother speak. With that, I give you our brother Jim Yates, Sr.
Thank you, Stephen. I want to speak a little bit to the beginning of my sermon about some celebrations. We just celebrated the blessing of a newborn. And where we asked the Lord, Father, to bless her, to guide and direct throughout her life that she would walk for him. Today and tomorrow, we celebrate us. Holiday that we call each year together. Where we celebrate the veterans of our country. Those who have paid the ultimate price for our country and our freedom. In just over a month, we will celebrate the birth of our nation. Here closer to home, a week ago today, my wife and I celebrated our 67th birthday of our anniversary. In the middle of next week, Wednesday morning, I will celebrate my 89th birthday. It seems that this is a time of the year where we hear a lot about celebrations, a lot about graduation and diplomas. As students move from grade school to high school, college, universities, It seems like the last 2 weeks we've celebrated here among our young several celebrations of graduations. Just yesterday, I went to one of about three or four in the last couple months of my granddaughter. We see a lot of young and some not so young in these graduations as they're moving from another grade or have completed a line of education that they need for the line of work that they have made up their mind to pursue to make a living. At the end of this graduation, they all get what they call a diploma. All of us have had someone teaching us from the time we were born right through the years to where we obtained a higher education. Whether it was of the school of hard knocks or from a formal education. No one can do it for us. We have to work at it ourselves. Our own name has to be on that diploma, that piece of paper. Not John Doe, but ours, to prove that we are the ones who earned it. A lot of long hours, hard work was spent in order to receive those diplomas. There is a record kept on each one of us in the time we enter school that passes down from year to another teacher so they know what we have learned, what we can do, and what we cannot do from teacher to teacher. We also have another record or file that is being kept on each and every one of us. Everything that we do from day to day, year after year, goes down in this record. It's called the Book of Life. And we can read about that in Revelations. Revelations 20:12. And I saw the dead, the small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. This record lets God know what he can expect from us. And maybe along the way, he might have to give us a little nudge or whisper in our ear, don't do this or don't do that, or do this and do that, to help us in our lifetime here. Whatever we decide to do will go in this book, good or bad, it will be there. This book of life will show if we have earned the right to be able to live in one of those mansions that the scriptures say is being prepared for those who follow the commandments of God. We can earn that life if we choose the right curriculum and use and study from the right textbooks, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, caused to be written by the master teacher himself, Jesus Christ. We have to live our religion so it will shine and show in our everyday walk of life. That means every day. Not just when we're at church or in the presence of some of our brothers and sisters. If we want to get that diploma that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Just like the diplomas that are received from school, we don't just get a piece of paper passing us to the next level of our spiritual life. We have to work for it. Let's go to 2 Timothy. And read two verses in 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. And see what he has to say about it. 15 and 16. Chapter 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vague babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I'd like to read a few examples of what I'm saying. They're all short, so you don't need to turn to them. But I will give you the scripture reading, so if you do want to go to it, you can. I'm going to start out with 5th chapter of Amos, 15th verse. Hate the evil and love the good. Romans 12:9. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians. I'll get my tongue out right. 5th chapter, verse 21 and 22. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm going to read the next one again, which I read a little while ago, because it fits right in here. 2 Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and vague babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. All of these verses tell us the same thing, to pay attention to what we do and say. In the past few years, the adversary seems to have had his own way with some who thought the scriptures needed to be upgraded and rewritten for modern times. They say, after all, God didn't have the scriptures correct for the times that we live in. So they would have to rewrite them and straighten them out. So they added to and deleted from the scriptures till they got them the way that they wanted, so that they could teach the way they wanted. They didn't bother to pay attention to some of the scriptures in there. Let's read them. Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of your Lord, your God, which I command you. Deuteronomy 12:32. Whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add hereto, nor diminish from it. And of course, in Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city from which the things which are written in this book. I'd say they have a problem, because they added to and deleted from 64,098 words while tampering with the scriptures in the King James Authorized Version. I'm going to read something to you from that was written by the co-founder of the New Age Standard Bible. This is what he has to say. I must, under God, renounce ever attachment to the New American Standard Version. Now remember, this is the author of this New Age Standard Version saying, writing this that I'm reading. I'm afraid that I'm in trouble with the Lord. We laid the groundwork. I wrote the format. I helped interview some of the translators. I sat with a translator. I wrote the preface. I'm in trouble. I can't refute these arguments. It's wrong, terribly wrong. It's frighteningly wrong. And what am I going to do about it? When questions begin to reach me, at first I was quite offended. I used to laugh with the others. However, in attempting to answer, I began to sense that something was not right about the New American Standard Bible. I can no longer ignore these criticisms that I'm hearing, and I cannot refute them. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive that we do not suspect satanic deception in all of this? Upon investigation, I wrote my very dear friend explaining that I was forced to renounce all attachment to the New Age Standard Version. The product is grievous to my heart. Quite a statement for the man that wrote it. And helps to complicate matters in these already troublous times. I don't want anything to do with it. The finest leaders that we have today haven't gone into it. The New Age versions used a corrupted Greek text, just as I hadn't gone into it. That's how easy one can be deceived. I'm going to talk to the president of Moody Bible Institute about these things. You can say that the authorized King James Version is absolutely correct. How correct? 100%. I believe that the Spirit of God led the translators of the authorized version. So to get to the truth, we have to be very careful what books that we get, read, and study, lest we be led away from the truth and led down that broad way to destruction instead of what we are told in Matthew. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We want to be part of that few. To find it. In just over a month, we will celebrate the birth of our nation. Our forefathers fought and died for several things. One of them was the reason that their forefathers came to this country for in the first place. A very, very important reason. Freedom of religion. But that is changing rapidly. Prayer has gone from our schools. The Ten Commandments have disappeared from government buildings and public places. And we are being forced to accept same-sex marriages. If you have a business and refuse to serve a homosexual, the federal, state, or city government will close down your business. And you won't have a right to express your First Amendment right, the freedom of speech, at what you believe. You're shut down, period. The devil is working very hard these last days to take away not only our everyday freedoms, but especially our religious freedoms. And he's making great strides in doing it. It seems that those who have any authority and those who have power to make decisions on how we live and think fall right in line with Satan's thinking. And we lose. We come out on the short end of the stick. Let's take advantage of whatever freedoms we have left and diligently search for the scriptures, and prepare ourselves for our final graduation to the everlasting life in one of those mansions. I have two more scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. James 4:7-8. And we're going to read the first sentence in 8. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Thank you. Bless you all.